Good afternoon, everybody. This is the Reverend Blake Rudy from San Antonio. How are you all today? I hope you're doing well. I'm okay. I've got the dog with me out here in the back patio. He looks pretty happy. He's scratching the floor, but if he starts barking, I'm going to have to try to get him in. But be prepared, he might start barking. Earlier on, a little while ago, maybe a couple of hours ago, I just took a nap before my show, and he was tearing the inside out of one of the furniture pieces, the love seat, I guess they're called, you know, the two thing, piece of furniture for two people. And we had it taped up, and there he was, just happily tearing the stuffing out of the piece of furniture. So one thing I've learned that works pretty good with dogs to get them to do things they're supposed to do and not do things they're not supposed to do is to spray them with a bottle of water, get them to stop barking. It irritates them. And anyway, I sprayed him, and he kind of sat there taking it, and then he jumped off the piece of furniture. I don't like being cruel to animals, and some people might think it's cruel. My wife doesn't like doing it, but it gets him to stop biting, you know, because he's got a habit of biting people around the house, and he's bit me before. I mean, not out of spite, you know, not aggressive behavior, but kind of like playing too hard. And he's 90 pounds now. He's a German short-haired pointer, and he's very stubborn. He likes to do things his own way. I understand, you know, dogs, they want their freedom too. They're evolving, just like human beings. But a bottle of water, I was told by somebody a long time ago, was a way to stop them barking and to kind of curb their behavior for other things as well. So I think, in my opinion, it's all right to do that. What do you think? Anyway, you don't have to call and let me know, but changing the subject, I was telling you on my radio show last week that I had a solo planned. I think I did. I also gave a speech last week at my Toastmasters Club. And so I had a solo in church last week. And it's always a kind of intimidating, if you will. You know, there's like 200 people in the congregation, and I wasn't really on the same sheet of music with the piano player, and he's a new guy, and we didn't really practice it a lot, and perhaps that was a mistake. And it turned out all right for the first verse. It sounded good. I had a nice introduction, gave a little talk, and explained why I was going to be doing the song and what it was about. But then after it's a tricky song too. It's called Thank You, Jesus, for the Blood. And some of the lyrics, I mean, it took me ages to learn it. I mean, I practiced and practiced and practiced. So we got to the second verse, and I was standing in front of the piano player, the director, who sometimes, he used to be a full-time director, he's 79 years old. He was sitting in the front, and I had planned to stand next to the piano player so I could hear him better, because this was going to be the last song of the service. We had already sung in front of the congregation and went back into the pews. And as it usually happens for the last song of the service, we stay in the pews. But since I was the soloist, I went out to the side. But then when the man who was going to be the director saw that I was standing next to the piano player, he said, move up front here. So I moved up front, and then I had the piano player behind me, and I couldn't hear him that well. And then when I got to the second verse, he, the director, said to the whole congregation, go ahead, everybody, and start singing with him. It was supposed to be a solo piece. And so I got distracted. And I had the words in front of me, but I lost my way temporarily. And then finished up the song, and it was okay, although we made some mistakes. And I don't like making mistakes, because I'm out here practicing my music all the time. I've got all my songs. I've got well over 100 songs. No kidding, over 100 songs that I know by heart, by memory, that I learned over the years. I'm going to take a drink. I mean, these are my songs that I learned when I was singing for the Wounded Warriors from October 2013 to just before the pandemic began. I'm going to take another drink. I used to go once a month and sing for about an hour and a half. And I would set up my equipment in the Family and Warrior Support Center. And it was a very casual atmosphere. The Wounded Warriors, back then, they were coming, returning from Afghanistan and Iraq. And not as bad as it was like in the early 2000s when they were coming back from Iraq and Afghanistan with missing limbs. But there were some, others injured in different places around the world. So I would set up my equipment. It was very casual, and they would eat their lunch and watch TV. And that went on for 6 years. And it was one of the best things I've done in my life. But that also, and singing with the choir, another good thing that I've done, joining the gospel choir in 2012, just after my wife joined, I went to the chapel. This is called Freedom Chapel on Lackland Air Force Base. And when I first moved here to San Antonio, I bought my house, and then I was looking for a church to go to. And I tried a few different places and finally settled for the Freedom Chapel on Lackland Air Force Base. And from then, approximately October of 2010 to maybe early 2012, I would just sit in the congregation. But then, when my wife and I got married in May of 2011, we would go to church together. She moved down here in May of 2000. We got married in February. She went back home to Alexandria, Virginia to take care of business and retire from the civil service. And so from May of 2011 to, I think, early 2012, we would attend the service. And then she got invited to join the choir. And then shortly afterwards, like maybe a month or so afterwards, hold on just a minute. The dog went in, so I closed the door. It was kind of quiet. He usually is up and barking around, but he was quiet out here in the patio, and then he went inside. So then I closed the door behind him so he wouldn't come running out here and start barking. Anyway, after my wife joined the choir, I joined, and then it has been also one of the best things I've done in my life. The songs that we learned, and hundreds, I'm telling you, over the years, hundreds of these beautiful gospel songs with incredible lyrics and just awesome melodies. You know, I was the only white guy in the choir. My wife was African American. And I don't mind that. I understand what the black people went through, sort of, knowing these songs, which are related to what they had to suffer and then how they forged their relationship with God over the years to ensure that their souls would get to heaven, you know, because they were constantly being abused and oppressed and whipped, and the women were raped and the men killed, sometimes hung. If they tried to escape, God forbid, if they were caught, they were killed, you know. So they had it rough back then. The plantation owners were mean people, you know. They were trying to make a living. So it was slave labor, basically. Back then, people didn't have much money. And there was hardly any technology, you know, compared to nowadays. So that's what they did to survive. They enslaved other human beings to make money. Understandable, that's where we were in our evolution back then. very unfortunate for the black race to have to gone through that, you know, because they were living in Africa, enjoying their lives there until one day the slave ships came and took them to America and to England and wherever else around the world. So wrong, but now that we can look back at that and say it was wrong, but really that's the nature of evolution. Even the Egyptians enslaved the Hebrews, you know, and were held captive by the Pharaoh. You know the story how that goes, but human trafficking, enslaving human beings has been going on since the beginning of life on Earth because it's a way to make money. Anyway, so my wife and I have been members of the Gospel Choir, and then last summer we integrated, combined with the Protestant service. I'm talking about summer of 24, excuse me. And then they changed the time. We used to meet at 12:30. Now it's 10 o'clock. So the congregation is different, you know. Now there's a mixture of African American and Caucasian people in the audience, congregation. And it's all good. But some of these songs that I've learned over the years, we're doing them more. I'm remembering some of the ones we used to do, like one goes, faithful, faithful is our God, faithful, faithful is our God. I'm reaping the harvest God promised me, take back what the devil stole from me, and I rejoice today, for I shall recover it all. Yes, I rejoice today, for I shall recover it all. And then it goes on. And there's another song. Water you turn to wine, opening the eyes of the blind. Oh, how's it go? And then, God, you are greater. God, you are stronger. God, you are fire than every other. I can't remember all the lyrics, but that's a really cool song too that we learned way back then. Besides my own songs, I've got a list of over here, songs that I've loved, you know, from my life back in the 60s, 70s, and 80s. And as I mentioned, I know over, I would say 150. I learned songs for the Wounded Warriors, and I just learned one new song after another and just kept on going for all those 6 years. And eventually I increased my repertoire to over 100 songs. God, nature, and love were the main subjects of these songs to help the Wounded Warriors, you know, feel better. And I'm proud of that. Very proud. Anyway, so I was kind of depressed afterwards about what had happened because I'd practiced so hard, and it seemed like I was set up to fail, and that's the way it seems sometimes. But when I communicated that to the musical director, the guy that plays the piano, he said, you know, the only person you have to please is the Lord, God. And he was right. You know, we offer up this praise to the creator of the universe. And for those that haven't had a chance to hear me say it before, I'll say it again. This is what I believe, and this is based on much research, reading books, writing my own book. I'm 71 years old. A lot of time to think about it. I'm a very spiritual person, have been. My mother was. She put me on the path of spirituality. I'm not talking about religion. I'm talking about spirituality, studying near-death experiences over the years, ever since 1992. No kidding, I could probably have a PhD right now in near-death experiences. I'm going to take a drink. I have read about and studied and watched videos of so many near-death experiences. It is great. My knowledge, the knowledge that I have gained is incredible. Also, I've learned about extraterrestrial phenomena, UFOs, life elsewhere in the universe. It is a lower intellect mentality, with no offense intended to anyone. Of human beings here on Earth, the lower evolved, the young souls, not the old souls, that don't realize that there is life out there. And as I was beginning to say, the creator of the universe put this whole plan into effect. And there might be more than one universe, I think. I know there's a parallel universe. They say there are many different dimensions. The superstring theory suggests that there might be 9 dimensions or more. But the one physical universe that we are aware of supposedly began many years ago with the Big Bang. And then the universe began forming itself, one solar system after another. And then when there were sufficient solar systems in one clump or cluster, then that was a galaxy. And then a new galaxy began forming itself, one solar system after another. That's why you see so many galaxies out there. They're filled with solar systems, but they have a limit of how many solar systems they can have. Usually maybe several hundred thousand stars, maybe a million stars, which are really suns, being surrounded or with planets revolving around them, you know. And all the way, billions of years later, here we are in the Milky Way galaxy, which is one of the younger galaxies compared with some of the other ones out there, in a spiral arm on the outer edges of the Milky Way galaxy. Our little solar system, compared to some of the others, is relatively new. In my opinion, it is approximately 2 million years old. And that's based on my own research and kind of like connecting the dots. Some people say it's older, 4 billion years. I don't know where they came up with that. And I think they have a tendency to exaggerate, to make themselves feel more important. I know that's negative, but how about this? I think they have a tendency to over-exaggerate. According to my best calculations, the Reverend Blake, an enlightened soul, I think I am. Thanks to God, I'm here on Earth to help other people. We're all in this together. I say that the world is about 1.5 million years old, between 1.5 and 2 million years old, and our sun, just a little bit older than that. You have to understand when that nuclear core ignites in the heart of a star, and then all these other gases and rocks and debris are forming, swirling around and coalescing and forming planets and moons. It takes a long time. You know, it takes hundreds of thousands of years. And that was the plan that the Creator had, that he, she, because the Creator is both male and female, and take a drink, would command these forces, these cosmic forces, to allow creation to fulfill his, her spiritual need, which can be summed up in one word, simply, growth. Is there anything greater than growth? What do you all know about growth? My friends, were you a baby once? I think you were. We all were. Yet when we see a baby, we say, oh, how cute a baby. Isn't it beautiful? Forgetting, of course, that we were a baby at one time, because we can't remember, even though our eyes and our brains were completely functioning at that time. And we now, me, for example, I'm 71. I'm an adult male, standing. I go back in time, I was just a baby at one time, not even crawling, barely crawling, relying on my parents to survive, and you were too. That is growth. I've achieved all that growth, and that is what the Creator is seeking, more growth. It's kind of like later on, when we leave this life and return to the spiritual realms, the growth that we've achieved, the spiritual development that we have achieved, will be added to the creator of the universe's ocean of spirit, like a drop of water, thereby increasing the growth of the creator. And then you multiply that with all the different people here on Earth and other planets around the universe, and you've got a lot of drops of water being added to the growth of the creator of the universe. Creator of the universe is essentially light. Light that's alive. And light can create things. Light can create matter, physical matter, spirit matter. Here on Earth, all this that we look around us is made of physical matter. But physical matter is made from spirit matter. And where do you find spirit matter? In heaven, over there on that world on fire. Because our planet is, thanks to the sun, alive today. The heat and warmth keeps us alive in that comfort zone, in that green zone, but also the energy of the sun, being the matrix of the solar system, rotates us on our axis and also revolves it around itself. How else did you think it happened? That invisible, unseen energy, you can call it whatever you want to call it, gravity, but that energy comes from the sun. We're living in like a manufactured reality. Space out there is a fabric. It's not real. It's made of dark energy and dark matter. Everything is a manufactured reality. We're living in like a simulation. But that's okay. We're fulfilling the Creator's will. And it's an amazing thing when you have half a day of light and half a day of darkness, you know, half a day of, or better put, 12 hours of day and 12 hours of night. Thanks to the creator of the universe, those powers were put into place to allow the sun to do that. And who is commanding the sun of our solar system? None other than our mother and father God, who are co-creators, not the creator, but co-creators of our solar system. And they are beings like us who at one time were going through their own steps of evolution, living on planets in the universe, and through the process of reincarnation, purifying their souls until they achieved that highest level of evolution where they could also then have their own patch of infinite space and create their own planets and their own spirit children. And that's what you will do one day. It just takes time. Eventually, that's evolution. It's a slow process. And so from this world, when we pass away, we'll go to that world of light over there. Hopefully, if you have graduated from this existence, ultimately, in my opinion, everyone will graduate. The ghosts that you hear about are people just like you and me, who were like you and me right now, but who died suddenly and violently, and so their spirits are walking on the earth plane. Earth one, I'm going to take a drink. There are the ones who have to pay the price for their sins because their transgressions are so bad, so to speak. They go down below the earth's surface to a place called hell, otherwise known as God's jail, and have to be rehabilitated there by some pretty nasty demons. But when you get used to killing people, sometimes by the millions, and I don't need to name any names throughout the history of this world, there have been people responsible for the deaths of many, many people. And don't you know that's pretty evil, right? And so that place down there knows how to deal with those kinds of evil people, so to speak, evil, for lack of a better way of describing them. But then there are some who live a good life are basically family-oriented and family-oriented, and they take a drink. Generous, kind people who are trying to develop themselves spiritually, who believe in God, the Creator, the Mother and Father. Some people don't have it straight, but that's okay. I'm fortunate that I learned because I sought and I found the answers. I knocked on the door was open to me, and you can too. If you really want to, there's books out there. All the information you need is really on the internet. All you have to do is type any question that you have in there, and it will be answered. It might not be the right answer. You just have to keep on searching until you feel in your soul that you've found the right answer. And ultimately, through that process of reincarnation, you go to the spirit world, that world on fire over there, because our spirits are made of light energy. Billions of electrons, kind of like little happy faces all swirling together. You can look at your spirit body. It's just like the physical body. You can see through it, transparent and translucent at times. You have facial characteristics and two arms, two legs, everything. And then you can configure it to a younger mold. You'd be surprised, I think, that the human spirit, this, which is your natural self, the real self, a pure spirit, really, is more beautiful than your physical body. So you would be absolutely stunned, I think, if you came face to face with a real pure spirit and you got a really good chance to look at it and see all the characteristics of the body, the facial characteristics, the eyes, the ears, the nose, they're all there. And so in heaven, that world on fire over there, the spirit can live in fire. You know, just like for the bad folks to go south and have to spend time rehabilitating in that area of the earth's interior where there's a lot of fire, you know, because the earth has a molten iron core when you take another drink. They are sometimes engulfed in lakes of fire or lava beds, you know, down there. There's lava. And their spirit can survive in the fire because spirits are made of light energy. Does that make sense? Anybody not understand that? Well, you have a spirit in your body. You know that. We are spirits in the material world. Now, once and for all, let's settle this. You are a spirit. You have a spirit in your body. And when you die, one day you will die, just like I will. That spirit pops out, usually through the top of the head or the chest. And you stand over you hover over your body, and you look down, and you might feel an attachment towards it. You might not. But more than often, you will think of it in a kind of a neutral way, knowing that it was just like a coat that you take on and put on and take off. And it served its purpose for your lifetime, but that's not really who you are. And then you, depending on your level of evolution, your spiritual development, you will gravitate to wherever you should go. For those who, like I said, were kind, decent, family-oriented, loving, generous people who believed in God and believed in their fellow man and tried to love their fellow human being and spoke more about love than hate. Mr. Trump, you need to change your rhetoric and be more loving because you're alive today because God gave you a second chance. That bullet almost got Mr. Trump right at Butler on the 13th of July last year. He has a chance to make the world a better place. But lately I'm concerned, and I voted for him, and I love him, I've dreamed about him six times, but I'm concerned about his hateful rhetoric. He needs to change that, because I can see in his eyes he's tired. He needs more rest. He's pushing himself too hard. He's burning the candle at both ends. So my prayer is that God, Mother and Father God, You can also pray the Creator or Jesus or whoever you want to pray to. But I always go straight to the top, which is the Creator of the universe. Mother and Father God are co-creator gods. You're a child of the universe, so you can pray directly to the Creator of the universe. My prayer is that, Creator, please bless Mr. Trump. I see the good in him. He's a great man. He's doing a lot. Please help him to rest, get enough rest, be happy, to speak more loving rhetoric, have more love. I mean, to be firm, to be like you, Creator. Some people need to be punished, that's true, for their transgressions, for their penalties. That's universal law, that everyone has to pay the penalty for their mistakes. But I'm worried about him, his health. Help him, please, Creator. That's my prayer. Amen. So I'm going to take another drink here. How am I doing on time? Okay, I told Doug that I would end at 6:30 because I wanted to try something rather than just talking for 5 minutes straight, but I would talk until 6:30 and then play some music. I'm not going to do this every week, but sometimes, like, if I've been busy doing other stuff and I feel like I need to rest and relax, I'm going to go to about like 6:30, 6:35, and then ask Doug to play some cool music for you. I hope you've enjoyed the show today, albeit a shorter version. And one final prayer. I hope you all will continue to develop yourself spiritually and keep on evolving, because tomorrow is not guaranteed for any of us. I am doing that too. Help make the world a better place, my friends. We need you. We're all in this together. We're all one, united. We're all parts of the whole. The Creator is out there. It's like in the Aurora Borealis. I say he, it's really he, she, it, however you want to call it. Call the Creative Universe. It's an electrical being, and kind of like an Aurora Borealis, an omnipotent, omniscient being that it has a great sense of humor. I'm serious. You would find that the Creator is like the coolest person you could ever talk with. I mean, the coolest, just the best. Loving, knows all about you, the best friend you could ever have. So pray to the Creative Universe. Go outside tonight, look up at the evening sky and see all those suns out there. Throughout the universe, millions of millions. I don't want to boggle your mind, but suffice it to say, there's a lot of them. And just say a prayer. Creator, are you out there? Can you talk to me, please? Please help me, whatever you need, however you need to be helped. So my prayer to the Creator is, Creator, I know you can hear me. You can hear everyone. And that's amazing. Just think of all the billions and trillions of beings in the universe that you have created, and that we're all related to you. And thank you for everything. Thank you for my life and my existence and for the beauty everywhere, this world and our sun and other planets and our solar system and other solar systems. I think, you know, you're absolutely incredibly great. Thank you. I just ask that you would bless all of the children here on earth that you helped create, maybe not directly, but indirectly. Help us to continue to evolve so that we can graduate from this existence and go to a planet of a higher level of evolution, which is what we need to do. Sometimes it's not easy, though, and we forget who we are, and we were made to forget, actually. We were born into this world and went through that river of living and that veil where we learned to forget all of our past lives and universal knowledge. And so this is a very difficult school of learning. Very, very hard. My friends, you have survived another day here on planet Earth. Welcome. Not welcome, but give yourself a pat on the back, because it is one of the most difficult schools of learning in the universe. It's a jewel of a planet, but you should be very proud to have survived up until this point. And I plan on doing it for a lot more, God willing, you know, to increase my soul's evolution, as you should also, because the alternatives are not pleasant, especially for those that do evil, so to speak. But you could always repent. Remember, repent every night. Reconcile yourself with the loving Creator, and you will be good. I hope you enjoyed the show. I love you. I'll talk to you next week. Keep on keeping on that spiritual development. And take care. Talk to you next week. Bye-bye.